Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Man, what a beautiful day today. It felt today, it's one of those, man, it feels like it's such a tease. It feels like fall out there today. I mean, it's been not too hot, not too humid, and a nice breeze. So hope everybody enjoying this gorgeous weather that we've had today. A beautiful day here on this Tuesday of game week. Auburn football just 3 days away, and the Tigers going through their regular Wednesday practice today, and a viewing window for the media earlier today. So we can talk a little bit about that and more. And we'll go ahead and get off to a great start as we welcome in the voice of the Auburn Tigers, getting ready to make a trip down to Waco for the big ball game on Friday night. And that, of course, is Andy Burcham, our friend Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing today?
Guys, I'm doing very well. I'm glad that we're almost to game day.
No kidding.
You know how it is. Bill, you've been doing this longer than both Dan and I, and, you know, after a while, you're like, what are we going to talk about? What's the talking
right.
point today? And sometimes that's good. Sometimes those talking points come up. I'm glad we're going to talk some football. I'm glad we're getting ready for Auburn and Baylor Friday night down in Waco, Texas. And hopefully we get some questions answered. And I think for both of these teams on Friday night.
Oh, well, certainly, Andy. And I think you could tell Hugh Freeze is excited about, you know, it's not a game in the distant future. It's not something that where he's going to have to go over material again and again. It's here. You know, the week of the game has arrived, and I think all off season, you know, ever since Auburn was able to retain a big chunk of that exciting young roster from last year, really the nucleus. We said, you know, everyone, practically everyone that Auburn saw a role for.
Yeah, that could be back.
From the 2024 team is back. And for that to, once Hugh Freeze navigated that minefield, you know, he's seemed pretty confident about the talent that he's bringing into the 2025 season.
It's the most talented team he's had at Auburn. Right? And now
no
it needs
question.
To produce. It's the best offensive line that Auburn has had potentially in quite some time. There's no question that we know how good this wide receiver room is. And you add Eric Singleton and Horatio Fields to that list right now. How does Jackson Arnold react to going home and mm-hmm. playing on a Friday night where he was an absolute star down at Guyer High School in Denton? We found out today from Jackson, I mean, it's about an hour and a half away from Waco, so you know he's got some folks coming in to watch him play on Friday night. So those are the ones. Damari Alston appears to be RB1 right now. He's the guy. How does he react to that? Just talking with him and the rest of the reporters today, I think he's ready. He seems ready to take over that role as the top running back for Auburn right now. How does that defensive interior defensive line, and we heard today from Malik Blockton, the sophomore out of Pike Road, Alabama, who is so promising for Auburn. And the first thing he talked about, at least when I got over there, he was talking about the depth of that interior too, the nose tackle and the defensive tackle. And they've got plenty of players right now? How do they form into shape for Auburn at this point? How does that linebacking core, which, you know, other than really Caleb Wheatland, who has over 100 tackles, but all while he played at Maryland, everybody else is relatively, I wouldn't say new, but
young.
You know, there's not a lot of experience.
No, I mean, Robert Woodyard is your most experienced guy at Auburn.
Exactly.
Then you go to DeMarcus Riddick is the next most experienced, and he's a true sophomore.
You know, he had 27 tackles and 3 sacks last year. Robert Woodyard, who's the experienced guy, only had 19 tackles.
Right.
And 3 tackles for loss for Auburn. There's a lot of youngsters, I think, that are getting a lot of playing time early on. Elijah Melendez, Xavier Atkins, Bryce Diaz. I think all these guys will play, in addition to Woodyard. And Caleb Wheatland, who transferred in from Maryland. So, and to me as well, and I think there was some pretty good news from practice today watching Alex McPherson work, and Coach talked about it yesterday at his press conference. He talked about it last night on Tiger Talk over on Wings 94.3, that there's a concern about the kicking game and specifically about Alex McPherson and his strength right now. But apparently he had a good day at practice. And I know this, and you guys do as well. I mean, if Alex can go, he's going to go.
Oh yeah,
for Auburn in the kicking game, and for his sake, personally for him, after what he has endured in the last year from a health standpoint, I hope he is ready to go for Auburn come Friday night down in Waco, Texas.
Yeah, no question about it. And one of the things you said in there, Andy, is something that we had a chance to ask Coach Freeze about yesterday. And that is the numbers there over on defense. And I don't think that is just an attempt to disguise who's going to play. I think that all 34 of those players who were shown as possible starters, I think all those guys will probably play tomorrow. And that shows the depth of talent that Auburn has over on that side of the ball.
I agree with you, Bill. I think depth is the strength of this Auburn defense, albeit some of this depth is unproven right now. But Auburn is incredibly deep at nose and defensive tackle. It is deep at defensive end in the buck. It is deep at linebacker. It's really deep in the secondary.
No kidding.
And I think that's where most of Auburn's experience lies on this defense right now. Now, listen, the likes of a Jay Crawford and Caleb Harris and Sylvester Smith, those guys all played as true freshmen for Auburn a year ago. Now you add Champ Anthony back after that broken leg in the Arkansas game. We heard from him today. That's a guy that's ready to play football again for Auburn. And then you add Rayshon Pleasant. That was good news, I thought, from Hugh Freeze yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he talked about it last night. He was asked about his most surprising player.
Yeah, that was a great last question.
Last night. It's his most – and it was Ray. I thought it was going to be Omar. I really did, but no, it was Rayshon Pleasant, who has fought through some, nagging injuries, appears to be ready to go. Talked about Rayshon both at corner and at the nickel. Obviously, he will be involved in the Auburn return game. And then Rayon Strader, who transferred in from Miami of Ohio, adds depth and some experience as that junior out of Pittsburgh. So – to me, Bill, depth is the key. Depth is the strength of the Auburn defense. Now, they will get tested right off the bat with a really good offense and a team that was red hot at the end of last season and returns some key members, including its quarterback in Sawyer Robertson. Bryson Washington, as a redshirt sophomore, ran for over 1,000 yards last year, returned everybody in the tight end room, including Michael Trigg. And then a couple of those wide receivers. And they're really, really big up front from an offensive standpoint. And they return one of the best punters in the country. Mm-hmm. And Palmer Williams, who averaged over 49 yards a punt a year ago and had a 79-yarder in the game against Utah. So that's just a couple names to be looking for when Auburn laces it up against the Baylor Bears on the blackout on the Brazos Friday night.
The veteran additions in the secondary seem really important, too, because without them, Auburn would be leaning on – and they're excited about a Donovan Starr or a Blake Woodbee. But I don't think Auburn is necessarily in a position where they want a true freshman as number three corner if they can avoid it. They had that last year with Jay Crawford and ended up working out okay as far as Jay Crawford being ready to play. But I think Auburn would prefer to, you know, to find other forms of insurance or have as many options as possible. And you mentioned it, but I think a big reason why, you know, we heard from some optimistic Auburn fans yesterday, and I think a reason for that optimism would be that overall the roster does seem to be going in the right direction at virtually every position, and that's something that wasn't true with a previous coaching staff, and even when you go back to the end of Gus, I think one of the concerns was that maybe the roster wasn't continuing to get better every single year towards the end of the Gus Malzahn era. And I don't know if there's a position that illustrates the makeover Hugh Freeze has done to this roster better than wide receiver, right? When you think about
but add offensive line to that list as well.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because that was a spot that Auburn was sorely lacking and had been for quite some time, guys. Was up front. And the fact that Lou and Wade and Wright are your veterans and you add a couple tackles to that list, that's a spot. Yeah, and there's no question that this offense, this wide receiver room, I think it has the possibility of being on par with that 04 team that had Devin Aroma-Shadu and Ben Obamanu and Anthony Mix and Courtney Taylor. I think it's that kind of veteran presence, albeit a lot of these veterans are guys that were as true freshmen playing a year ago and now are sophomores for the time.
Yeah, young vets. And you add Eric Singleton. I guess that may be one of the bigger questions for this week is, you know, will Eric Singleton, I'm sure, will be there, but you just wonder how close he'll be to full go.
Exactly. And it was brought up by the head coach yesterday at his presser. And, we may not know until tomorrow or Thursday before we know if Eric Singleton is good to go for the Tigers. We may not know until Friday Alex McPherson is good to go for Auburn. So there's still a couple question marks from a health perspective for this Auburn team as it gears up for that Baylor game on Friday night.
And the point about Alex is that is something that could change day to day. I mean, it's great that he was out there and apparently really striking the ball well, but that doesn't guarantee that, he'll still be feeling great on Friday. Singleton, on the other hand, is somebody that should get better as time goes by. You just don't know how much. But Auburn is very fortunate there that they have Malcolm Simmons and Bryce Kane, who's had a very good fall, that can play that same spot.
Bryce Kane, and I've talked a lot about with guys here in the office, Bryce Kane, for me, is my breakout guy this year. I'm not saying he's going to be Auburn's best wide receiver this year, but coming from where he was a year ago,
and he
didn't play much for Auburn. But he's a guy that gives you depth in the slot. He can be used as a return guy as well. And I think Bryce Kane is my breakout guy for Auburn this season. I think he takes a big step forward for Auburn in that very good wide receiver room.
Yeah, I think there's a role for Malcolm no matter what. And I would think that if Eric Singleton's injury proves to be serious enough to limit him, I think that the player that would probably see the greatest increase in snaps because of that is probably Bryce Kane. And, you know,
because Malcolm's going to see him. He's going to see a lot of snaps, period.
That's what I mean. And I think with Bryce Kane, I think some of the days of positive buzz around the preseason camp, it coincided with Eric Singleton being unavailable and Bryce Kane getting a larger role and a more serious look. I think he's a great breakout candidate. I think if we're looking at guys who, you know, maybe it took them a year, the one that we've heard the most about this preseason, Amaris, would be to me like that. There's
Amaris. You know, another one is Jaquez Robinson.
Yeah, Jaquez Robinson.
Well, Auburn needs Amaris Williams to take
that
step
indeed.
Behind Calvert Falk at defensive end. I mean, Auburn needs Amaris Williams to be the guy that was a preseason freshman All-American going into last year, and I thought came on for Auburn at the end of the year. So while I think that Bryce Kane is that guy offensively, Auburn needs Amaris Williams to be that guy from a defensive standpoint. So, you know, these are some of the names. And listen, how will they react when the lights go on? How will Ajaquez Robinson react after transferring from Colorado and Alabama and getting a shot for Auburn at free safety for the Tigers? You know, how will and Eric Winters, if he's given that opportunity on the other side, a true freshman from Enterprise, how does he react? How about new boy Fagans at the Star from Alabaster? I mean, these are all guys, you know, a year ago, Auburn was relying on so many freshmen, so many of them in the wide receiver room, and so many that had to step up for Auburn because of injuries and other things in the secondary. All right, who are the next guys to take that step? Who are those next guys, you know, that get that opportunity and shine for the Tigers in their first season in an Auburn uniform?
I'll tell you another guy that Auburn's really counting on stepping up, and if he does, could be a huge factor. We talked about him a good bit here this fall, and that's Keyron Crawford. Because if he can get, if he can get to the quarter, he was so close last year. He got pressure. He was in the backfield, and he's talked about, you know, finishing the deal. If he can do that, that then will make it much more difficult for any offense to try to double Keldrick Faulk or, you know, anybody else or the Amaris Williams, those guys. Because, you know, if Auburn can have two elite pass rushers, then that's a huge step to having a great defense.
Keyron, a year ago, had 19 tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He had 7 quarterback hurries.
Mm-hmm.
So he was pretty pressure on the quarterback, but did not have a sack a year ago. So that backs up, Bill, what you were saying, is he got close. I mean, he put some pressure on the quarterback. He's got to be able to complete the task,
right,
for Auburn as the other side to Keldrick Faulk on those rush ends for the Tigers. So many questions going in, but this is fun. I mean, we're talking about all of this, and we've watched the spring practice or the spring practice. We've watched fall camp now, and now it's, you know, we're a couple days away, and it's going to be a Friday night in the state of Texas, which will be a fun atmosphere in Waco. It's going to be warm, but it's going to be fun down in Texas.
Can you stick with us, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we'll get back. We've got to get to our first break here on this Tuesday, so stay with us on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck, 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, even though it's Wednesday in the Auburn football world, with the ball game coming up on Friday. And we've got the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, with us for a few more minutes here on this Tuesday edition of The Drive. Andy, yes, a lot of excitement about football, but then a very sad note with Auburn Athletics, with the word over the weekend that Mike Cooper, and a lot of folks may not, you know, that name may not ring a bell, but helmet guy, really, unfortunately, passing over the weekend.
Bill, when we talked last week, Jan and I were on our way to Chilton County.
Right.
And Brad Law was going to be there as well to speak to the Chilton County Auburn Club. And Mike, such a key member of that. And Brad and Jan and I sat at Mike's table, Mike and his wife, just talking about Auburn and getting ready for the season. And then got word over the weekend about his very tragic passing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it started for Mike, that I remember, back in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
And Auburn, I think, had a helmet day, literally a batting helmet day at Plainsman Park. And Mike got one of those Auburn helmets. And that's when I remember him to become such an integral part of the atmosphere at Plainsman Park. And then when Clint Myers came in for Auburn softball, he started his cheering for the Auburn softball team as well, and for a number of years was doing it both for
right,
both teams.
He did.
And what a strong voice that Mike had, but just a heart for Auburn. I read on social media that he worked alongside Ron Anders, and he worked in Anders' bookstore when he was at at Auburn, and I didn't know that. And it's so very sad that he has passed, and was such an important, fun part of Auburn, and that booming voice and relentless cheering.
Absolutely, regardless of the situation or the.
Yeah, it could be as bleak as possible. Yep. It did not matter.
No,
to Mike,
he's got Auburn Tigers, and you know, yeah, absolutely. Just
he will be sorely missed. And my thoughts and my prayers out to Mike's family, the folks in Clanton and Chilton County, and I mean, he was part of that Chilton. He may have been part of that Chilton County Auburn club from its inception. And,
I'm sure
and every
was.
Year that I went up to speak, he was there with a smile on his face and just to welcome whomever to that club. And I will sorely miss Mike and his presence at the Auburn events, to be sure.
No question about it, Andy. I mean, and you'll never find anyone who was more proud to show his love for Auburn than Mike.
No, and I don't know what we're going to do without him. Honestly,
no,
he was such an integral part of game day.
Oh, he was. I mean, and Tex called yesterday and was talking about his LSU counterpart wanting to look him up when he came here. I mean, visiting fans, you know, knew that where's helmet guy? They're looking for him. And I mean, it just won't be the same. You're absolutely right.
You're right. You will not.
Yep. Well, let's see. We got some other news today about basketball. Auburn has its opponent for Holiday Hoopsgiving. Thought it was going to be a couple of other teams.
Yeah, and I've heard a couple others and one from the West Coast, and it turns out it'll be Chattanooga. And I think there'll be a great crowd on hand when Auburn plays that day in December. Don't know which game that Auburn will play. Of course, Auburn played the opener this past year. And one big, so it doesn't matter. If Auburn's there, and I think as long as Bruce Pearl is the head coach, Auburn will continue to play in that event. Atlanta has been so good to this Auburn program. And think of the stars that have come from the Atlanta area. And that's one of the reasons that Bruce Pearl continues to take his team back to Holiday Hoopsgiving. Auburn's had great success there, and I think it'll be a fun game to do with the Tigers and the Mocs in early December at State Farm Arena.
Big week for Wings 94.3. Andy, you mentioned that it's Tiger Talk yesterday. We got an Auburn High School game coming up, and then of course Friday, you and the new look Auburn Sports Network crew will be live from Waco.
It will be the same crew Friday night. Brett Eddins is not slated to be on the
He's going to start off at home. You're going to ease him in starting at home.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We've got Ronnie on the sideline, so it's the crew that you know this Friday night, and then next Saturday, Brett's going to be a part of our pregame festivities and on the sideline with Ronnie for the Ball State game. We're going to turn him loose against South Alabama. But we look forward to having Brett as part of our crew. I will miss Will Herring. In his 2 years, I thought he did such a good job on that sideline. Mm-hmm. And especially we'll miss him in his pregame and his postgame analysis. And just the work that he did. And we'll miss having Will as part of our. He was fun to be with on the road. Brett will be as well. And
we're really
looking forward to having Brett Eddins as part of our crew. We'll have him with us next week, but it's RB on the sidelines this week, part of that 2004 national championship. Mm-hmm. We can now say that. 2004 national championship.
That is right.
With Ronnie on the sideline and Jason in the booth with me.
And there's some really cool stuff coming from the content department as well. I know you've got you got another episode of the podcast. And Andy, I was able to check out, we talked about it yesterday, I was able to check out the first episode of Unspoken, the War Eagle Plus documentary about the 2010 season. You're in it. You tell a couple of yarns, and I really, you know, it was one of my favorite things about it was getting to see some familiar faces again, some of them I haven't seen in a while. And as I mentioned on social media, like even if you know the story really well, there could be some surprising details in this documentary. And if you go in, if you're a newer fan, you go in really cold, it's a fantastic story.
Auburn does a terrific job, and particularly the War Eagle Productions folks and the Sport and Story do a very good job of the. I mean, the documentary that they did on Bruce Pearl and his 10 years at Auburn, the documentary on Auburn's national championship men's golf team from 2 seasons ago, and this is a multi-parter on this 2010 national. There are a lot of stories with that team, and Cam Newton came back to campus to be a part of this. So it's and I was able to sit down and act as the asker of the questions with Gus Malzahn, and it was a side of Gus that you don't see very often. He was, for Gus, relaxed, and I know that qualifies with the Gus Malzahn, but they've got some great stories of that 2010 team and the ups. I mean, listen, it was an undefeated team that won a national championship, but they weren't without challenges.
No,
that season. And what they went through and delivered Auburn a national championship out in the desert against Oregon. And I look forward to watching all of the episodes moving forward.
Oh, yeah. And then Dan mentioned a podcast. Talk about what's on Talking Tigers and coming up.
Well, right now we talk recruiting in the NIL world, mm-hmm. and the current state of college football from a recruiting standpoint. With Will Redmond, who's Auburn's general manager for football, and Kenyatta Watson, the general manager of recruiting for Auburn football. We have yet to record. We're recording tomorrow with Rhett Hobart, Paris Buchanan, and Daniel Watkins. And it's a look forward to Auburn's kickoff on the plains and some of the changes you'll see at Jordan-Hare Stadium as Auburn gears up for that Ball State game coming up the first weekend in September. And I know I've mentioned the last couple weeks, the following Monday is my podcast with Mayo Sewell. Mayo Sewell, as we knew him, linebacker on that 2004 national championship team. What he has gone through in his life, now a pastor at a growing church, Live Atlanta, and his time, he spent a full week as a homeless person, living with the homeless in downtown Atlanta. And that story and what, as a result, what that church and what he is doing to help the homeless in Atlanta. So that comes up in a couple of weeks on the Talking Tigers podcast. We'll be back at Baumhauer's on Monday. Always look forward to our trips to Baumhauer's. Had our first show at Baumhauer's last night. I had the wings. I figured, why not? I mean, show back, you got to have the wings.
Absolutely.
Right? So always look forward to seeing Tud and the folks at Baumhauer's. And that's where we'll be for the most part throughout this fall football season.
And then you've got the pregame starting at a familiar time on Friday.
Yeah, 4 o'clock on Friday.
I'm trying to convince Steve. You know, we ought to just simulcast. I mean, because you know, not a lot of folks are going to be listening to us while the pregame's on.
And among our guests on Friday, we have confirmed with Jarrett Stidham. Of course, transferred to mm-hmm. Auburn after playing at Baylor, now with the Denver Broncos. Freddie Smith, Bill.
Freddie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Number 31. Athens, Alabama.
1976, had 21 tackles in a, one or two-point loss to Baylor at Jordan. Well, I guess at that time, I don't know if it was Jordan. It was probably just Cliff Hare Stadium.
It was Cliff Hare Stadium. Right? Indeed, it was Cliff Hare.
But Freddie will join us on our pregame show. You'll also hear from Auburn's new into the role, news orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Benton Emblem. Brenton Emblem. And also, Brad Law, and this is going to be a series that we're going to do for some of the away games this season, 100 years of Auburn football on the radio.
Right. Heard so him mention that. That's really cool.
So that's part of our pregame festivities starting at 5 or 4 o'clock. From McLean Stadium on the banks of the Brazos.
Hey, you got to ask. You have to ask Freddie, because Freddie came in. Auburn had some pretty good running backs, you know, back in those days with Cribbs and Brooks and Andrews. Yeah. And Freddie Smith was a phenomenal running back coming out of high school, but he was switched over to defense. Just ask Freddie what how he thought he would have done as a running back back in those days.
If I can remember that, I will. He turned into a fabulous linebacker.
Oh, he was a tremendous, he was.
And if you see him now, he looks like he could still play.
I bet, yeah.
And he is, it's fun. We're ready. I'm looking forward to having Jarrett and Freddie as part of our pregame. But Jarrett is on at, they'll be on at 4:15 and 4:30.
Okay.
In the pregame show on Friday.
Andy, I'm gonna try to heckle the pregame show while I'm over there at the stadium. I'll come by and say hi and maybe even do a simulcast, and you'll call the drive.
One thing Dan can't do is sneak up.
That's right. I'm gonna try my best to disguise myself as a tree or something. But it'll be great to get out there and say. Did you by chance did you get into asking Coach Freeze about the captains? Do we have an update on, because he mentioned?
Oh, they did.
I did not ask the question. As a matter of fact, one of our folks at Baumhauer's asked it before I could get to it last night, and he was not prepared. Apparently, he was telling the team today.
Okay.
So I do. He knew the names, but he was waiting to meet with the team.
Didn't want
to.
Yeah.
Today.
Wasn't going to break it to the team on the radio.
No,
so.
I think we left the press conference yesterday thinking maybe the team knew, because he mentioned that Horatio had received a lot of votes in one of his answers. Apparently that wasn't the case. The team didn't know yet. You know, the ballots had been counted, but the results had not been released. They're going to find out today. And knowing Auburn, there's probably a social media video or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they've released that as a as something, you know, to let the public in on that announcement as well. But I think we will probably know before we go on the air tomorrow who the Auburn captains are for 25.
Andy, always great to be able to spend a little time with you. Have a great trip out there. Thank you. Looking forward to the broadcast on Friday.
Guys, I appreciate it. I hope you have a great day. War Eagle!
Voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does and will on Tuesday afternoons. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll open up the phone lines. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840. Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. If you missed any of Andy Burcham, check out the podcast as soon as we put it up.
We're right back. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
On Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew with a day off. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us for a couple of segments. I got a little bit of Auburn news from Major League Baseball. Ooh. As Mason Barnett has been called up by the Oakland A's. Saw that earlier today. Yep. Daniel Robert was brought back up by the Phillies, but Mason Barnett, how about this? He is the 12th former Tiger to get called up to the majors since the start of the 2020 season. That is good for third most in the SEC since 2020.
Yeah, that's some good news for Auburn baseball. There was some bad news earlier this week. Richard Fitz was having he was having a great start for the Red Sox. and was cruising in the start earlier this week, and seemingly injured his it's one of those concerning, like, ooh, I don't like where the pitcher is grabbing. Right. I don't like that it happened right after a pitch, and hopefully,
yeah, it's not usually good.
I've not seen an update, but I'm bracing for, you know, pretty bad news about Richard Fitz, and hopefully he's able to power through, because it was a really promising start to his career in Boston.
Yeah, but congratulations to Mason Barnett, who's been called up.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome news there.
By the A's. 334-321-1390.
By the way, the official word is that Richard Fitz is on the IL with right arm neuritis. So,
neuritis does not sound good.
Tell you what, you don't want to be learning words when you're...
Neuritis feels like what I've got in my knee. Yeah. All right, let's get to the drive hotline. And Terry, we were thinking about you yesterday. Terry, how you doing?
Great, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Mason Barnett, the guy. When do the A's move to Las Vegas? Next year?
So the stadium's still under construction. I know there are some folks who think that whole stadium is not for real. I think 20 27 or 28. I know it's not next year. Oh, I know the stadium's not going to be ready. Like, they're playing in Sacramento for a couple of seasons in that ballpark. I would say 27 or 28, but I also know there is skepticism that the whole thing in Vegas is actually going to happen.
So they're still called the Oakland A's, but they're playing in Sacramento.
Well, they're just called the Athletics.
They're just the Athletics.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, here we are with another football season on the cusp.
Yep.
I think it's going to be entertaining to hear the starting lineups because it's going to look so different.
I think we've got a pretty good idea, you know, who the starters are going to be. But I think there are going to be a lot more players that you're going to see that can play this year.
Right, and I've heard a lot about, the Fields kid, the receiver.
Mm-hmm. Horatio.
Right. I think he's going to make a great impact.
I think he's going to make a big impact.
Yeah, I mean
Auburn's got so many receivers. I don't know that you're, you know, expecting to, you know, be a guy that catches 70 passes or something this year.
But I think he certainly helps because it's another option that keeps defenses from focusing too much on Cam Coleman or Eric Singleton. Mm-hmm. And I think that's you know, having another option to keep defenses balanced and off guard, especially a guy who can be a matchup problem for certain defensive backs. I think you're going to like Horatio Fields, Terry. I know
you're a tall kid, right?
Yeah, he's tall. He's physical. That was, you know, the thing. You know, I asked Hugh Freeze on Monday, you know, what was it about Horatio, you know, looking at film at Wake Forest that made you think this is a guy who would add something to a really talented receiver room? And he said, you watch on the film, he's strong, he's got ball skills, he can go and get it, and usually when he goes and he goes for it, he brings it down. So, you know, that's, you know, Hugh Freeze is big on catch radius, and he does not want receivers. He does not want to play you if you're not a reliable target, and it sounds like he's got one of those in Horatio Fields.
Well, and like you said, Dan, he could take the pressure off of Singleton and Cam Coleman.
And
I also think he's been something of a motivational factor for Perry, because I think they use Horatio Fields to say you have to earn your playing time as a former five star looking to have a breakout season. You got to earn your playing time by beating out someone who was a pretty good receiver at Wake Forest last year. You know, the season Horatio had at Wake Forest last season. I mean, Auburn's had several seasons where no receiver played like that.
Right.
Like where nobody
for those kind of numbers.
So I mean, I think that's just like Too Tall has been. I think it's been useful to have Too Tall, even if he's not a starter, because it's an option that shows the other four off, or you know, the four of the five offensive linemen that you have someone you can go to if they're not performing. I think Horatio has been a useful tool to show Perry Thompson that you have to earn playing time and you have to earn reps this year by being the best option.
A little bit of good news about Perry Thompson, the fact that he did not have the knee brace on today, so that's good too.
Yeah, that's real good, yeah. Now, what are you guys' prediction on the running back room? Because I've heard a lot about the kid out of Auburn High School reclassifying, Madsen.
He has had a tremendous summer and fall. And right now, he's not listed on the depth chart, but I think he gets in the game. I don't know if he's going to get carries or anything on Friday, but you're going to see Omar Mabson, and you're going to see, I think, a good amount of him before the season's done.
I think Omar and Bryce are in similar situations in that they were given opportunity. I mean, they earned it, but the opportunities came, or a lot of the opportunities came, when the guys that are supposed to be number one at that position weren't necessarily available. We were talking about Bryce Kane. You know, he's getting more opportunities as Eric Singleton battles the leg injury. I think in the case of Omar, those first few days that Auburn was out there in the preseason, you had Damari dealing with, was it a heel? And you had Jeremiah Cobb with the finger injury, and Darrell is coming back from the turf toe, and so Omar and Alvin is dealing with, you know, Hugh Freeze said Alvin's been banged up for a lot of the preseason camp too. So Omar was the healthiest guy at the beginning of the preseason, and I think he ran with those opportunities.
Well, he runs with that mean intent. He's got a low center of gravity. He's tough to bring down. He's one of those guys that when you tackle him, he still seems to get another yard or so. So it may not be completely his time yet, but a lot of folks have likened him to Trey Mason.
I really, Terry, I want to see what Damari can do as a number one. He's listed as the number one without an or on the depth chart. So I think there's, you know, there's the question of you know, what he's going to finally do with his opportunity. But, I mean, I think Omar's played his way into the mix this preseason.
And, Bill, I'm real surprised to hear he's not on the depth chart. That's really surprising.
Well, they only listed three running backs. And the third one is Darrell Robinson. I was a little surprised that it wasn't Damari, then Jeremiah, and then Darrell or Omar. I just wondered if they ran out of space there, because I think he's right there competing for playing time.
And on the show, the Legion of You Guys, they were talking about the kicker, McPherson, having another setback. Is what's going on there? Do you guys have any idea there?
Well, he had surgery, had some intestines removed, may have been his colon, part of it at least removed. And I mean, trying to solve the problems that he was having where he just couldn't maintain weight. Well, I heard that he changed medications and had struggled again over the last few weeks trying to maintain weight, that he was starting to lose weight. So, you know, he's battling that, and that's something he's going to be dealing with for the rest of his life.
And he weighed like 155, 60 pounds anyway.
Well, he was down to closer to, I think, about 110 when it really was bad last year. So back up to 160 pounds or something is good for him. So there was a question when Hugh Freeze was talking with us yesterday, but today at practice, he was out there. I didn't have a chance to get out there today, but, you know, the reports from practice was that he hit a couple of 45 and then a 50-yarder with no problem. So if it's a good day for him, you know, if he's feeling good, then he's going to be the guy. Now, there may be some limitations as to how much distance he'd be able to have, but that's something that he and Coach Freeze are going to have to determine game by game.
Yeah, I think the way Coach Freeze said it on Monday was that he's going to talk with Alex on Friday. You know, he's going to see how Alex is feeling before the game, and then they're going to figure out sort of, they'll have a plan for how far do they think Alex can kick, what will they do if there's a field goal situation beyond Alex's range. Mm-hmm. I think Towns Magoo would probably get the first crack at a field goal beyond Alex's range. I also think Towns is going to handle, I think Towns
is going to be kickoff.
I think Towns is your kickoff guy no matter what. I think Towns would probably be your longer field goal guy. And I think if something happened, and this is just speculation, I think if it were a situation where Alex couldn't go at all, Towns would get the first crack.
I think so.
At the kicking. But you've also got the kid Gibbs, who transferred in. Connor Gibbs transferred in from Southern Miss. He was Southern Miss's kicker for a couple of games. I think 10 of 13. Career, you know, from field goals in his career. So Auburn has other options. And Terry, you remember, I think with Towns Magoo, like, you remember several Auburn kickers who had really rough freshman years but showcased a leg and straightened things out over the course of their careers. And I won't be shocked. You know, I understand, like, maybe Friday night would be a really big moment for a, you know, for a pivotal high-leverage field goal for Towns Magoo, but I won't be shocked at all if Towns Magoo is a very good college kicker before his career's over.
Yes. Several kickers have got off to rough starts.
Oh, yeah.
And went on to great careers at Auburn. So, anyway, guys, I appreciate y'all. Take care. Good to talk to y'all.
Good hearing from you, Terry. 334-321-1390.
And you know what? That's one with Towns where it's like, he's got some things you can't teach.
That's right. He absolutely does.
He's got some things. I mean, it's a matter of, it's, you know, I mean, look, is it a bit of Happy Gilmore? Like, is it going real far?
He really didn't have that. He didn't have that problem in high school. I mean, it's one of those things though where kicking is like a golf swing. It's like a baseball swing sometimes. If it gets a little off kilter, then it can be mental. And it wasn't because of he didn't have the strength or anything to do it. But I mean, he was a very accurate kicker in high school, and I don't expect him to struggle the next opportunity.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I really like. I hope Alex can go.
Yeah,
and I hope he plays well if he plays, because I think it would be really unfortunate for everyone, including Alex, right? If it's like if he's out there playing, but he's limited and not quite the player he was before, and he was such a. I mean, you talk about a guy who had.
Oh man, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, look like.
I mean, we were thinking he's kicking last year, and he's in the NFL this year.
Yep. I think it was people with his brother.
Towns was going to be perhaps a kickoff guy last year, and then being groomed to be the kicker this year.
And Auburn has been. I mean, you think about the Carlsons. Like Auburn has been blessed with really high quality place kicking over the last decade or so, and last year was a real bump in the road. We'll see if Auburn can stabilize, and I think it's some fans are probably frustrated to hear that it's, and we got to take a break, but it's like that it's Towns and McPherson's health question is kind of where we left last season in a way, but I think that's something that can improve and change over a few months.
There's also been that experience to go through and learning from that heading into this year. It's still not last year, thank goodness. All right, yeah, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Your Auburn football game day destination is Wings 94.3.
Uncle T-Bone here.
And Jack Hutton.
Join us this Saturday as we kick off our coverage of Auburn football.
Well, that means we are out of time. Fun first hour and a quick one. With Andy Burcham joining us for the first couple of segments. It is game week. We're just a few days away from Auburn and Baylor. We'd love your thoughts. If you want to give us your pick for the game, what are your biggest concerns for the game? And, man, there are some huge games this opening weekend as well. Love to hear from you. We're right back with hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Remember when you would dream about
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew with the afternoon off. We'd love for you to join us. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, it was a Wednesday practice today on this Tuesday, since Auburn's doing everything a day ahead, since the game is a day ahead of the normal with the game on Friday against Baylor. And there was a viewing opportunity for the media. And then some players spoke with the media afterwards. We'll talk about that. Dan was over there for the viewing.
I'll tell you what, we have had weeks in the past where they've been they've been fine about giving us access, and even stuff that maybe they're like, all right, we'll try not to report. Don't shoot video of this segment of practice. There could be
talk about injuries.
There could be some sensitivities. As far as I think they did some very general stuff, and then got us out of there pretty early today. And then
because I mean it is serious. We're just a couple of days away.
And as we were leaving, they crank up the music, and I think I think that's when the afterburners came on for a lot of the coaches and for a lot of the a lot of the drills that they started doing. And I think that's evidence of wanting to wanting to get this team as ready as possible for Friday night.
Well, I mean. Look, it seems like it's been a long off season, and Auburn's been pretty fortunate. I mean, we talked about some injuries. We talked about the question with Alex McPherson and Eric Singleton. But I mean, Auburn, and again, you never know. I mean, even when you've got just no contact or something, there can be injuries. But Auburn's been very fortunate. I mean, you saw Baylor loses their second running back. They've got two or three guys that are questionable for the ball game. I think Auburn's got most guys looking like they're going to be available. Don't know if Eric Singleton is going to be close to 100%, but Auburn is extremely fortunate. They've got Malcolm Simmons and Bryce Kane behind him, so it's been a good fall camp. But yes, it's serious time now. I mean, they've got to get everything fine-tuned and try to have everything everything good to go before they hit the road out for Waco.
Yeah, and it's not unusual because Auburn has had some big road games under Hugh Freeze, and they even played Auburn went across the country 2 years ago in week two and played against Cal. But
against the same offensive coordinator.
But that's right, Jake Spavital was there 2 years ago with the Bears, and for Auburn, this is. I think that aspect of this is familiar, but the fact that it's Friday night and the fact that it's the first game of the season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had two straight years where you open against a pretty overmatched opponent in week one, and right. then you get to play that power conference that power conference opponent, from another league in week two. This time you're skipping a step and you're going right to the test against Baylor, and so I can understand.
How do you feel about that? I mean, I've said I like it.
I think last year, after seeing the way the Cal game actually went down, I wonder if Auburn actually sort of harmed itself by playing that first week.
Yeah, because false sense of we're a whole lot better.
Yeah, and it maybe gave them the wrong idea of where the strengths of the offense were. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this is an offense that's gonna have Peyton Thorne's gonna have a lot of time.
We're gonna sling it. Yeah.
Yeah, Peyton Thorne's gonna have a ton of time to go downfield all he wants. It's like maybe that's not where the most potent aspects of this offense are, and maybe the running backs need the ball a little bit more. Yeah. And I think
they did in hindsight.
Yeah, and so I think maybe if Auburn hadn't been able to play Home Run Derby week one against Alabama A&M, they might have come to those conclusions.
I think so too.
I don't know.
I think that's a very good point.
Hard to say.
I mean, I like it. And I understand if you don't know what you have, or if you're in your first year, I can see that you'd want to get an idea before you just throw yourself in against a Power Four team, especially one that is that's considered to be fairly formidable.
Sort of where I landed talking to Justin yesterday on the Observer podcast, and I'd like to know if you sort of disagree with any of this, but it's like I think that if the Auburn offense performs well on Friday night, it's exciting not just because of what it would mean for the Baylor game, but also because this is the kind of offense where things gel and things improve. You can say that about every team.
Yeah. Teams should get better from game one.
But if you have a
but if you're good in game one against somebody that is not just a patsy, that you should feel pretty good about the offense.
And I would think that if the nucleus of your offense is back from last year, it is fair to wonder how much better you're going to get because a lot of these guys have played together and maybe they're already close to their peak early in the season. If it's a bunch of new pieces, that's the kind of offense that you would figure gets better over the course of the year and could be considerably better in week 7 or week 8 than they are week 1.
It's interesting when you look at that on this offense. The guys that were around last year, a lot of them were first-year players last year, and you would expect they're going to make usually that biggest jump is between year 1 and year 2, and then you've got the other experienced guys that are back are the interior of the offensive line, and that should get better just, every year as long as you're doing that. So I think that's something positive to be looking at.
Now, if the Auburn offense struggles on Friday night, you can try to console yourself with the fact that, okay, some very important parts of this are new,
right,
and they've got a couple of weeks at home before you play Oklahoma. Not that it's going to be reassuring
in any way. Not at all.
But I do think that you can at least say, all right, well, this is an offense that has...
This is their first time.
Yes, there is the potential to work some kinks out in a way where if everybody was back... struggled the first.
If that were the case, then you'd be really concerned. We've talked about it. I mean, we've seen some Auburn teams through the years that struggled offensively early on, and then by the end of the year were pretty darn good.
And again, I say this to point out that if the Auburn offense is sharp, and I think there's a good chance they could be, but if the Auburn offense is sharp on Friday night, think about where that improvement could eventually take them before the season is over. Mm-hmm. For the Auburn defense, if the Auburn defense is sharp on Friday night, I think Baylor is a team that's closer to a finished product than a lot of these other offenses because of who is back.
Baylor's offense is better than a lot of offenses teams are going to be playing in week one.
Yeah,
I can tell you that. And, I mean, Hugh Freeze has pointed out numerous times that in the last seven games that Baylor played last year, they averaged 41 points.
Yeah, if you want to make the argument, they were one of the and you can point to the teams on the
sure
Big 12 schedule. If you want to make the argument, Baylor was one of the better offenses in major conference college football over the final
second half of the year,
seven. Yeah, after Sawyer took over as quarterback, it's you know that's rooted in truth. So if the Auburn offense is sharp Friday night, you're sharp against a group that should be on that should be at peak powers or close to it right now. I mean, I guess you can wonder like how much room for improvement there is on the Auburn defense because you have more I think you have more guys who have played. Although
you got a lot of new faces on the defense as well.
There's young players there too. So I mean, there's reason to think the Auburn defense could get better over the course of the year. But if they're good enough to stymie Baylor's offense in Waco, on Friday night.
If the Auburn defense, and I've seen a lot of predictions, and I've probably sort of been leaning that way too, is thinking I like this Auburn defense, and I think they will. I don't think they're going to give up a ton of points. I mean, I've been thinking somewhere in the 17 to 24 point range for Baylor. If they do that, if they hold Baylor to 20 points or less, then I think that's a really good start. People might go, golly, that's just Baylor. But again, look at what they did down the stretch, and they're playing at home in their opener.
I mean, the total on this game's 57-58, right? I mean, teams are someone's supposed to break 30.
Yeah.
If a game, and I wonder, I know betting the under is like not always the most exciting thing either, but I would lean towards. Like I'm thinking it's a 7 to 10.
I've got it under. I have it under.
I'm thinking it's a 7 to 10 point game, and the winning team is under 30. I'm thinking it's like so maybe 27-20, something like that. See, with a goal line.
I'm
stand.
I'm thinking around that, but I'm thinking maybe 30.
I'm thinking
to
we
20.
How about this?
21.
I think we're getting drama in the fourth quarter. I don't think this
I
is. I know. Auburn, I know, but I don't think. Like, I'm sure Auburn fans. Auburn fans would love for this to be a multi-score game.
You'd love to be able to clear the bench and see everybody in the fourth quarter
and clear the stadium out
for
everybody except the Auburn fans and make it a bummer in Waco.
I've seen a lot of Auburn fans that have been posting about buying their tickets from Baylor.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and that's interesting. I mean, because again, we talked about it yesterday. This is a 45,000 seat stadium. And if Auburn's able to buy tickets from Baylor, then I wonder how impressive that blackout's going to be.
These Auburn fans in men's basketball last year routinely took over road stadiums.
It has been a disappointing 4 years, but I will say I think Auburn fans are pretty dang hungry for some positive results in football. And there are a lot of Auburn football fans, a lot of Auburn folks in the state of Texas, west of the Mississippi, I would say. So
I think
there'll be a good Auburn crowd.
I'd love to see, different splotches of white and orange and blue and any other neon colors you want to wear, just sort of messing with
the blackout.
messing with the blackout for sure.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
Let's get to Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Hey guys, out of the 42,000, how many do y'all project will be Auburn fans?
Ooh, I would think. I mean, here's the thing, but
more than a quarter of them, I would say.
And a couple years ago, Media Days was in Dallas. Maybe it was last year.
It
was last year. Media Days was in Dallas, and Andy Burcham and some other folks spoke with the Auburn. The Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, Auburn Club. That's a sizable group. Like there are quite a few. There are quite a few Auburn fans that are in the Dallas metro, and that's only about an hour and a half.
I wouldn't be surprised
from
if they're 15,000 if they could get tickets.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't account for fans traveling to the game. I'm just thinking there's a significant number of Auburn fans in the Dallas area. Keep in mind, Dallas is the fourth biggest metro, fourth or fifth, biggest city in America, I think upwards of six, maybe even 8,000, 10,000. I wouldn't be all that shocked if you saw a lot of Auburn fans in the house.
How many tickets did Auburn get?
I think Auburn got around 5,000.
And you think Auburn will have about 10, Bill?
Well, I mean, I just saw a bunch of people talking about buying from Baylor and knowing other Auburn people that were able to buy from Baylor. So, I wouldn't be shocked if they're somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 out of the 42,000.
Okay. Hey, last thing, tell me what you think about Singleton. Do you think he'll be able to play and help Auburn, or do you think probably not?
I think he's going to try. Today, I mean, it sounded like he was showing that he wasn't 100%. It was pretty obvious he wasn't 100%.
My guess would be, Brett, and I never went to medical school. I've seen several episodes of ER, thinking about starting the pit, but I'm not qualified to break this down. My guess would be that, and I don't even know what a pitch count necessarily looks like here. I would think if they're monitoring anyone for that who's going to play on Friday, I would think the likeliest candidates are Singleton, Champ, and Riddick. I would say those are guys who could be on just because of how
Champ continually is on the bike.
Yes, but he's also
he goes out of practice.
But he's also going out there and getting physical in practice. It's not like he's just been on the bike watching practice.
No.
Riddick has gotten physical too, but I think they were really being careful with him early in preseason camp. I would think those are three guys where they can go and they could even go full speed, but I think Auburn's going to want them to play. They're going to want the backups playing quite a bit at those positions too.
Well, Dan, if they're worried about Riddick, I mean, I'm not understanding why it is that they're playing. Because, I mean, if it's a shoulder, you know, it's not going to get better from playing.
Well, he hadn't been in a yellow jersey, though, for a while.
No, he hasn't been. And I think there's the belief that he can go through it, but it might be, like, you know what I mean? Like,
if this were Ball State, I could see doing that. I don't know. I think against Baylor, he goes out there, he's the guy, but then they want to see the young linebackers
but
as well.
But I think they're treating it with some care too. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see it, you know, to see it braced up, to see him, you know, I don't know if it's totally behind him necessarily.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Brett. 334-321-1390.
And my guess with Singleton would be that if he goes, it's going to be with some extra padding and with some bracing.
Oh, yeah,
and
you know he's going to have that thing really wrapped. But, I mean, a deep thigh bruise, those things sometimes can take a while. And you don't want to take chances because you keep hitting that thing. It can calcify. Yeah, that can
get
tough.
He needs his legs,
yes,
too. My understanding to be as effective as he –
Yes, he does. All right, you want to get one more before we get to break?
Yeah, let's get to James, who's hanging on.
Hey, James.
Hey, guys. So I'll give you my prediction if you want it. I don't know if you're going to like it, but I'll give it to you.
Sure.
41-17, Auburn.
Ooh. 41-17.
Why wouldn't we like that?
I would love that. Friday, that'd make a very comfortable Friday evening. What a great start to Labor Day weekend.
Yeah,
that'd be.
James with a bait and switch. I wonder how many times. How many times has Hugh Freeze broken 40 against major conference opposition as Auburn's head coach? Right. I mean, you had A&M last year, Arkansas.
The reason why I picked that like that is because there's a lot of questions and concerns on the Baylor side about their defense and their ability to protect their quarterback.
Yep.
And listen, their best cover corner gives up 62 yards average a play, or a game, I should say, not a play, but a game. If that's their best cover corner and he's not even at full health, I don't know. I'm not with some of these Auburn fans that are thinking, oh, woe is me, and we barely going to get out of here, and some of the national press that thinks we're going to lose by two touchdowns. Their defense is going to have to show me something.
No, I agree. That's one of the reasons Dave Aranda took over last year, because their defense was so they were struggling so much, and they still didn't get – their defense wasn't great for them down the stretch. The offense is what really carried them down the stretch. And you're right. If they're struggling protecting Sawyer Robertson, and we've seen the Auburn defensive front really have a good fall – I think Auburn would have to do a lot of damage to themselves. Now, that being said, they've done a lot of that the last couple of years. So that's what Auburn has to avoid doing is, you know, beating themselves, I think, this week.
Yeah, I think the skepticism for the Baylor defense is understandable because even in those games where Baylor's offense looked great last year, the Baylor defense was giving up points and the Baylor defense was giving up yardage. But I think it's also it's reasonable for people to be in believe it when I see it mode about Auburn's offense. That's where that feels like it's – I mean, the Baylor offense against the Auburn defense is maybe strength versus strength based on how they played last year.
Right.
Like those are the two units that outperformed the other last season. It's when it's Baylor's defense against Auburn's offense. What's the battle going to look like?
I think Auburn's offense has added more than the Baylor defense has.
And there's also offseason. And I think there's probably reason to believe that the Auburn offense was an underachieving group last year.
They were.
The Baylor defense, it wasn't so much about underachieving as much as it was these are as good as these guys can be.
Yeah,
and maybe you need to go get better guys.
Dan, one thing I'll explain to y'all real quick about my prediction. I'm giving the offense 20 to 24 points of the offense is Auburn and the rest is Auburn's defense.
I don't think they're going to be doing anything on that defense. If they can do,
that's something that Auburn could not do last year. They didn't create turnovers and get points defensively. If they can do that, that would be huge. That is a giant step that Auburn needs to make.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze's offense the first 2 years he was here could have really used some extra help from defense and special teams adding some points.
That's where Rayshon Pleasant could help you in both those categories.
Yeah, and I think this year it's probably a really bad idea if you're facing Auburn to let the defense and the special teams help the offense because the offense seems potent enough on its own.
Yeah. So if that helps y'all understand my mindset of that prediction, that's where it's coming from. So
hope you're right.
I am too, but I'm not worried about it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, James. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. You can join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
I am Ed.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. If you want to give us your pick, your thoughts about Auburn and Baylor, we'd love to hear that. But, I mean, some huge ball games. Texas-Ohio State coming up from Columbus on Saturday. I mean, LSU-Clemson, Alabama-Florida State. I mean, there are quite a few interesting ball games this weekend.
I think Tennessee Syracuse. I mean,
I think that could be.
Syracuse is another one where that's a quiet 10-win team from last year with Fran Brown. Fran Brown knows the SEC. Fran Brown is not going to be ambushed.
He won't be stunned at what's coming jogging out onto the field.
I bet he's pretty excited knowing the way he recruited at Georgia. I bet he's pretty excited about getting a game in Atlanta.
Yeah.
To get to showcase his Syracuse team down there. And Tennessee, I mean, look, if I were in Tennessee's shoes here and you had to make that quarterback swap after spring practice was over, I think a tough game early would be terrifying, right? Because you missed out on valuable you missed out on valuable time getting that team ready. And the thought of a new, especially a quarterback, it would be one thing if it was like, okay, your starter's out. And now the guy who was the backup and has been here the whole time and the team knows him, he's stepping in. It's not that. They went out and got, you know, Joey Aguilar, former App State quarterback, you know, he was at UCLA. He goes, I have no idea what to get from to expect from Tennessee this year, and I wouldn't be all that shocked if they blew a tire early in a game like the Syracuse matchup this weekend.
That one looks to be a closer game than Alabama Florida State to me. We will see. Yeah, but before we get to that, though, I want to remind you that coming up tonight over on WANI, join Ben Taylor and Riley Hubbard on Lee County's election headquarters. They're going to have full coverage and results of the Opelika municipal election starting at 7 o'clock. They'll be checking in with candidates and keeping you up to speed with the latest numbers as they're returned after the polls close at 7 o'clock tonight. Opelika municipal election coverage tonight brought to you on WANI by Jeffcoat Trent Funeral Home, the Lee County Revenue Commissioner Olene Price, Lee Russell Council of Governments, and Smith T. Building Supply. So that's starting at 7 o'clock on WANI.
They do a great job there, Ben and Riley. We'll keep you up to date on the election results tonight. And as always, you know, we support democracy here. So if you have the chance, go out and vote.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You've still got an hour and a half. Which means we're closing in on the bottom of the hour.
We'll talk with Jake Crane in the next segment on a Tuesday. Get his thoughts not just Auburn and
We're saying there's some fun games.
Not just Auburn Baylor on Friday night. We'll talk to him about that. But yeah, it's a big slate of game. I mean, and I think that's got to be
probably as big a slate of opening week games as I can remember, at least in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember there being, you know, especially you don't have one, you don't have that, well, depending on what poll you're looking at, a 1-2 matchup like Texas-Ohio State, you've never had one.
And you don't have as many of them on neutral sites
right.
as you did a couple years ago, too. The fact that so many of these games are going to be home games for one team or the other, you know, I wonder how much the television networks have played a role in saying, hey, we want some really juicy we want some really tantalizing matchups week one to be able to, to keep folks, how about this, to keep folks subscribed to the cable services and to keep folks, to where they'll, you know, paying their monthly cable bill to feel like they got to watch these games. It's another story to watch, as we talked about with Brian yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's the day.
Fox and YouTube TV in a dispute that could make the Fox network unavailable on Friday night for folks who want to watch Auburn Baylor. I would start researching alternate plans in case this doesn't get resolved.
Touching base with friends that have other ways of watching.
I would find a way to start researching some of the other carriers that have Fox if YouTube TV
right.
is your primary method. This could get resolved before Friday night.
Yeah, hopefully it does tonight or tomorrow morning.
That's I think the hope for a lot of folks who are going to watch, who hope to watch the game on YouTube TV.
All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. And yes, Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. 27 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on the on this Tuesday. Bill and Dan here in the studio. And we will put your calls on hold for a little while because we are heading to the drive hotline and going to welcome in our good friend from Crane & Company, and that's Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. We've finally arrived at game week, and I tell you, we're actually going to live stream the Auburn-Baylor game Friday. I'm excited to see it, man. It's going to be a heck of a season.
Hey, what a game week it is. I mean, we're not messing around with a bunch of games against Directional State and Patsy U this week. There's some really, really good ball games.
Well, I mean, can you guys remember a week one that was this loaded?
No.
I mean, maybe it's just recency bias because it's week one. But I mean, I can't remember the last time we've basically had 1-2, 3-5, and I mean just the amount of really good games in week one. Now, starting on Thursday, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I would not be surprised at all if South Florida beats
yep.
Boise State on Thursday. But man, it's an incredible slate, and it's going to be fun to get it kicked off this way.
Yeah, that South Florida quarterback is a guy who I think could really raise his profile over the course of this season, and a win over Boise State this week would be a huge sort of launching point For that. That's a fun team down in Tampa.
Yeah, well, Dan, you know, I think he's an athlete at the next level. I don't even know if he's a quarterback when you look at the natural throwing ability. But I tell you, man, with the ball in his hands, you know who he reminds me? Do you remember when Stowers played quarterback, who's now the tight end at Vandy? He kind of reminds me, if you look at the build and the way they're put together, I think he could actually transition there at some sort of flex Y at the next level, because he does some really good things. I mean, he's run the ball with success against Bama. It's just the throwing part of it. But the more I watch Ashton Jeanty run in the NFL, the better I feel about South Florida, because he was so good last year for that Boise State team.
Yeah, Trey Burton did a little bit of that quarterback tight end stuff too, right?
And that's another
guy who made a pretty good career out of that. Jake, you know, you're right. I mean, and 1-2 is uncharted.
Yeah,
you know,
that's never happened.
It never happened week one. We had 1-3 a couple years ago with Bama Florida State, but we've never had a.
This one feels a whole lot better. I don't care. Even if some folks want to go, well, this is 1-3 as well. This should be a whole lot better ball game than that 1-3 matchup.
Well, and it's not just 1-2. It's the rematch of the national championship semifinal game. Like, I mean, they just got done playing each other. So it's amazing what's been kind of added on to some of these and some of these matchups. LSU Clemson with two returning quarterbacks, man, it's going to be exciting.
Where are you on Arch Manning and Texas as they head up to Ohio State and face off against the reigning national champions?
Well, you know, I like Ohio State to win the game. That isn't to say that Arch is going to struggle. I don't think either quarterback is going to go gangbusters in this one, just because of the newness on both sides. You know, obviously Arch finally being the guy with some pieces on the offensive line that has changed. You look at Julian Sain having not really played, and then you have a new offensive coordinator in Brian Hartline as well. I actually like the under in that game, but I just think Ohio State makes a couple more plays and wins that game. But, you know, again, at the end of the year, Texas could be playing a lot better than Ohio State. I just I look at this matchup, and I think the Buckeyes are going to find a way to pull it out at home.
Yeah, the loser of this ball game, I mean, is by no means out of anything.
Yeah. No, and I would say the same thing for LSU-Clemson as well. You know, but then you look at Auburn-Baylor, and I think you could make the case that as far as importance and heaviness to the overall program health and longevity of that health, I mean, Auburn going to Baylor could be the most important one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, Baylor played so well down the stretch last year. Granted, it wasn't against the toughest competition around, but still, they feel pretty good about where they are and, you know, where they got to last year. But yeah, let them lose and get off to a – I mean, if they lose, they're looking at 0-2, you know, wouldn't be unlikely at all with SMU coming up the following week. And all of a sudden, Dave Aranda's seat's pretty darn hot.
I think they have Arizona State pretty early in the season, too.
I think so.
You know, last year's Big 12 champion.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody keeps talking about how much Hugh Freeze needs it, and he does. We all know that. You know, Dave Aranda, to your point, Bill, is right there with him as well. So, again, just it's about as heavy as a non-conference game to lead off the season could be when you look at the context that way with both head coaches.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane & Company here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. So Jake, we were saying earlier that when you talk about the Baylor offense and the Auburn defense, especially based on what you saw for most of last season, that would feel like a battle of strength against strength. How do you think things are going to go on Friday night when Baylor's got the ball?
Well, I would agree with you. Just before we see anything, well, you know, once they're on the field, we'll have a better idea. But, you know, Baylor's offense covered up a lot of problems with the defense last season, you know, including in the secondary, which, you know, if you believe what they're saying out of fall camp, the secondary is still a big concern. But when I look at this Auburn defense, you know, one of the worries I had coming into this season was the depth of the front seven. You got young linebackers, really talented. Auburn hasn't had this talented of a linebacker room in a while, albeit decently young. But then you look at that defensive line, and it seems like some of the young guys have really come on to provide some depth pieces. And when you look at Baylor, wide receiver room's pretty good. Josh Cameron's a problem. You can't punt him the ball. That's one thing on Friday night. You cannot let Josh Cameron return punts. He's the best punt returner in the country, and he can flip a whole game if you do that. So the punter is about as important as it can get going into a game with Baylor. But when you look at their offensive line, the interior, if you're a Baylor fan, you feel pretty good about with the center and guard combo. But when you look at the tackles, that's where I feel like Auburn has a huge advantage. I actually think Auburn has a big advantage on the edge of the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball when Auburn's on offense and then when Auburn's on defense, because the starting left tackle for Baylor, Fuker, was the one that got benched a couple years ago at South Carolina and then transferred out. You know, they brought in a former five-star offensive lineman, but he never played at North Carolina. So when you look at the tackle position and with what Auburn has coming off the edge and the depth that Auburn has coming off the edge, that can be a huge advantage. And Sawyer Robertson, he can move, but his escapability isn't great. And just like every quarterback in the world, when he gets pressured, that completion percentage goes way down and that interception ratio goes way up. So if you feel like Auburn can dominate the edge of the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, you should have a really good chance to win the game.
Yeah, and one of the things we saw yesterday, and a lot of people, you know, looked at it and went, oh, they just don't want to name who the starter is, when Auburn had 34 players listed as possible starters, I think that most, if not all, of those 34 guys are going to play Friday night against Baylor. That is the depth that Hugh Freeze, DJ Durkin have built on the defensive side of the ball.
No, it's a great luxury to have. If it was me, I'd have put 60 guys on there. Forget 34. You'll never know if it was me. And there's
guys who were on the team 10 years ago listed on the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dan Peck at 3 Tech, you know, if it all goes downhill.
Carlos Dansby, what's he doing here?
Yeah, that'd be great. He could probably still play. You know, when you look at the depth that Auburn has now on both sides of the ball, I do want to say this, and I'm sure the coaching staff knows this and they'll do this. When it's the biggest moment, the dude's got to be in, though. Have all this depth and all that stuff is great, but when the moment's the biggest, the dudes need to be in the game.
And I think the thinking is that the dudes will be in better position to help you. They'll be fresher if you can utilize your depth throughout the game. There have been years past where I think Auburn's as good as Auburn felt about their top 11 in the fourth quarter, the number of snaps caught up to them. And the hope is that maybe this season your top 11 won't have to deal with that sort of fatigue.
Yeah, and one other thing, though, is I think there are some young guys that are going to get the opportunity to show that they're dudes, too. So I think they're going to be more than just that bare minimum of these guys need to be in. There's some other guys that are going to have the opportunity to show, no, they need to be in when the game's on the line.
No, and that's great. Again, depth is a luxury. And look, some of the young guys may be the dudes.
Yeah.
Like, if you notice last year, that's kind of what it was. That's why Hugh Freeze and them have tried to recruit winners and guys that understand how to win and can show up in the clutch moment. So, you know, being a dude doesn't have an age by it. Either you are one or you aren't one at the end of the day. That's what's beautiful about sports and beautiful about football. But, you know, again, you want to get to a point where you can kind of treat it like a hockey line, right, where guys just go in there and they can go all out for as long as possible, then get them out, and the person you're putting in there isn't this huge liability while they catch their breath and get ready to go back in. And it seems like that's why, you know, if you're an Auburn fan, you should be optimistic about this year, and that's why the momentum from this first game, it almost feels like it's worth two games. That's how big this first one is, to be able to get off to a good start, put all that negative stuff behind you and get some momentum going into conference play, where you got to go on the road for the first two games to Oklahoma and then to A&M.
Jake, the thing about the last month that's made me feel like I was in a Twilight Zone episode where everybody was crazy and I was normal was, like, I would go to these practice viewing windows, and it seems very clear that Jackson Arnold is the number one quarterback, and that they're building the offense around what can Jackson Arnold do, and they're going into the season with Jackson Arnold. And then I would leave practice, and everybody would want to talk about the number two guy and the number three guy, and when are we going to see Ashton Daniels, and when are we going to see Deuce? And it baffles me, because I think Jackson Arnold is as entrenched as just about any other number one quarterback going into this season, and he's going to have a very long leash as far as what he can do with this offense. What are you expecting out of Jackson Arnold when he makes his Auburn debut on Friday night?
Well, I mean, Dan, the most popular person on campus most of the time is the backup quarterback. And you know, when you have an unproven guy, I mean, you go to Alabama, a lot of them just want to talk about Keelan Russell, you know, not Ty Simpson. It's just the nature of the beast when you have an unproven guy there. But what do I expect from Jackson Arnold? I expect you to come in and ball, man. I expect you to come in and ball. I expect you to put all that stuff behind you, to come in and operate the offense, not do too much, read the RPO right, read the zone read right, not get too greedy. You know, when the play breaks down, make the smart play, throw the check down. If it's open, take off, get yardage. But I expect you to show up and ball, right? I mean, you had one bad year. You're the super high recruit that we know has talent. Now you got to go out and do it when the lights come on. So the expectation doesn't change. We expect you to go out there and ball.
Well, I mean, from what I've seen, that's what I expect too, Jake. I mean, I really do. And I haven't seen anything from Jackson that would indicate a lack of confidence in himself. And that's
yeah, well, here's the thing, Bill. We're not going to know until the first thing
goes wrong
how he reacts to that, because it inevitably will, whether that's the first drive or the fifth drive. But it's just, how do you bounce back from that, and how does Auburn bounce back from that as a team on the road too? So, but look, he's got all the talent. That's not the question. It's just, hey, when the pieces are right around you, which they weren't last year, that doesn't excuse some of the way he played. But you're at a new place, right? You're working for a guy that knows what he's doing offensively. You got to go out there and use the gifts that God gave you and go out there and have fun.
Yeah, a guy who's really impressed me this preseason, Jake, is the transfer out of Wake Forest, where Robbie Ashford is.
How about that? He's your starter.
Where Robbie Ashford is the new starting quarterback. But no, I think Horatio Fields is someone who could make an impact. We had a caller earlier in the show ask about, you know, what he could maybe do. And the fact that Auburn saw him as a priority with all of the talent they had coming back at wide receiver, and they still thought there was maybe a role for a guy like Horatio Fields.
Yeah, you get Eric Singleton, but still you go out and add another experienced guy in Horatio.
And you retain all four of those freshmen that you signed the year before. And you know, I asked Hugh Freeze about Horatio on Monday. He said, this guy's become the leader. You saw how physical he was. You saw how well he caught the ball when he was at Wake. And he's come in and, on top of helping the other guys with his experience, he's someone who can seemingly help the team right now with his ability to play.
Yeah, well, there's always those couple guys that are just sneaking around that nobody talks about, and then after two games, you're like, wow, this guy's going to be a big piece. I think Horatio falls in that. I tell you another guy I'm excited to see go out there and spin a little bit is Sam Turner. From what I've heard, like, this dude doesn't—he's not afraid to go out there and make plays.
He didn't look like a freshman this spring.
No.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that's going to go out there and really, you know, they're going to look at the depth chart and say, all right, obviously Cam Coleman and then Singleton Jr. Those are the two we got to stop. And then you get a skinny coverage on one guy and he starts ripping you apart. Whether that's Horatio or Sam, somebody's going to make him have to shift back to even, and then when they shift back to even, Cam Coleman and Singleton are leaving, I can promise you that.
Here's the level that Hugh Freeze has upgraded the talent wide receiver from 2 years ago to now. Here's how dramatic it is, Jake. I don't know how much you're going to see Sam Turner or the Smith twins, both freshmen, Duke and Eric Smith, like the three true freshman receivers on scholarship at Auburn. I don't know how much you necessarily see them. 2 years ago, They would have been three of the top five guys in the room.
If not the top three.
Maybe the top three. Like, you know, in Freeze's first year. Like, that's how drastically he's made over that room. And that's a point I made earlier in the week, is that I think the folks arguing for Hugh Freeze to get the job when Auburn's head coaching position was vacant, the argument was, this is a guy who can turn Auburn into a destination for quarterbacks and receivers and offensive tackles and pass rushers, unlike anyone who's ever coached at the school before. That aspect of the job, I feel like, is close to mission accomplished. It's a matter of turning it into victories.
100%. I mean, you get a lot different feeling right now when you look at Auburn get off the bus as opposed to a couple years ago. And look, that's what Hugh Freeze and them, like you said, came in to do, and that's what they expected to do. But at the end of the day, you know, it isn't a beauty contest. It's who can go out there and execute and win football games.
It ain't bodybuilding. It ain't bodybuilding,
yeah,
Jake.
Yeah, and when you match talent with culture, that's how you get championships. So, again, that's why what makes Auburn so interesting this year is that they're one of the few teams that could actually be, like, really, really good. Like, you just don't know. Like, you feel like they have the talent to do it. So if they put it together, this is a team that, that could really do whatever they wanted to do, especially if Jackson Arnold's out there making good decisions and letting his ability speak and not overthinking things. Like, this isn't a ceiling 8-4 team if they catch a few breaks. If they catch a few breaks, you could sniff and possibly catch 10.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all. Hey, we're running up against time. Love to get a you know, what is your what's your upset special for this week?
Ooh.
Mm,
You with me on Syracuse being close?
No, I think Syracuse gets murdered.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just think the line of scrimmage, like, Tennessee has such a huge advantage. Ooh. If you really look what Syracuse lost, it's tough.
How about that?
I would say my two upsets, I'd watch out for South Florida Thursday and then Toledo going to Kentucky. I think one's got upset.
I don't even see that as an upset, really.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I saw it they were plus 9.5 earlier today, Bill. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I hope it keeps going up. But no, we have a full Baylor-Auburn breakdown. We go position group by position group on YouTube at Crane & Company, and then we're going to live stream the game Friday night. So you don't have to listen to RG3 slobber all over Baylor for 3 hours if you want to watch that, too.
That is great. Great stuff, Jake, man. Thanks a lot. Looking forward to that.
You know, he won a Heisman play in there. I wonder if that'll come up on the broadcast Friday.
Just keep the croissants away from him.
Oh, man. Great stuff, Jake. Thanks, man. We will talk to you next week.
All right. See ya.
Jake Crane & Company. And, yeah, that'll probably be fun to check out there. Their version of that. All right, we'll get to our final break. Back to wrap things up here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hey, this is DeMarcus Reading. Looking for
on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Final couple of minutes here on the Tuesday Drive. And again, fun show today. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us for a couple of segments right at the top of the show. And then Jake Crane joining us here in hour number two. Fun show here today. You're back tomorrow, right?
I am on tomorrow's show. Jason should be in the house tomorrow as well. And then I'm hitting the road late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning for my early flight Thursday to Texas, and I'll be joining you guys for as much of Thursday and Friday's show as I can, and then I'll be back on Monday with a recap of my trip to Waco.
Good, looking forward to that. Coach Don Dunn will be in Thursday and Friday.
We are on the air Monday, Labor Day. We will be doing a show.
Yeah, I still like my what you think of my idea? I think, I mean, with since we're going head to head with
I think Friday's gonna be a tougher one. Yeah,
that's gonna be tough. Yeah. No, we'll be here Thursday and Friday, and then back tomorrow, as you mentioned, Jason Caldwell joining us at the top of the show.
I think we have a button here where we could simulcast wings, and so I just occasionally we'll check
just
in
pop
on.
In. I want to hear the interview with Freddie Smith.
Occasionally we'll check in on the network.
Yeah. All right, that's gonna do it for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.